You're going to love what Tyrann Mathieu had to say at his introductory press conference as he returns home as a member of the New Orleans Saints, breaking down the last 21 first-round wide receivers and what their production has to say about Chris Olave's opportunity to have an immediate impact his rookie year. And the New Orleans Saints have the perfect fit free agent running back on the way to visit later on this week. I'll tell you who it is. We got all that and a little bit of Lanyap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints.
You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into another episode of Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints. Part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks as always, making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. Don't forget that we are free and available on all platforms, including on YouTube as well. And I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter. You can find me over at USA Today's Saints Wire, Tuesdays on Locked On NFL, and here with you every single Monday through Friday on Locked On Saints. In today's episode, we're going to get to some clips from Tyrann Mathieu's introductory press conference. We're going to break down the last 21 first-round wide receivers and use that to try to predict what Chris Olave's rookie year could look like. And we'll talk about the Saints in their international matchup set for October 4th and the nice free agent running back that's coming through to get a little bit of a look from the New Orleans Saints, a guy that we actually pointed out a few episodes ago. So I want to start off with the introductory press conference here because it's humongous news. Tyrann Mathieu is officially a New Orleans Saint. The contract is signed. It is done. It is the three-year, $33 million contract, $18 million guaranteed, all that. But beyond the money, beyond the fit on the field, this is simply what Tyrann Mathieu says is a dream come true.
It's most definitely a dream. Having the opportunity to represent, this team, to be a part of this locker room. I've always been a fan of the way Saints play football. And just to have that opportunity means a lot to me. And, more than anything, I just want to, take advantage of it and make the most of it.
Mathieu told us during his introductory press conference that it was really talking to Saints media that really allowed all of this to kind of set in for him or start to settle, really start to hit him, right? This is obviously a big deal for him, and it's a big deal for the city of New Orleans. This is a guy that talks about not only wanting to come in and make the players around him better, but also wanting to help the community. And we've seen that from Tyrann Mathieu over and over again, right? He does the 7-on-7 camps. He does a lot of community work in New Orleans. Even when he was playing in Arizona, or he was playing in Houston, or he was playing in Kansas City, he always found his way back to New Orleans and his ways to give back. He even talked about sort of the conflict of being, in his early 20s and not necessarily being ready to come back to the city of New Orleans just yet, wanted to wait until he was able to bring something back with him. And he certainly brings back a lot with him now. I mean, he brings back a very clear leader for this team. He brings back hope for a New Orleans Saints team that maybe didn't necessarily have the opportunity because of injuries and everything going on last year to really operate up to the potential or operate up to the expectation of the fan base. And now the fan base is entirely rejuvenated. They're ecstatic about all of this. I know you are. I mean, I am as I watch all of this happen. And so it's fantastic to see Tyrann Mathieu come back and talk about all the things that he's been through and him talking about like not wanting to necessarily come back to New Orleans when he was 20. But now as he's getting closer to 30, just feeling a little bit more ready and in the right place. It said it was the only team that he took a visit with. Remember, he took that virtual visit with the Philadelphia Eagles, but never really went and visited anywhere else. He spent his entire offseason in Louisiana, either in Baton Rouge or down in New Orleans. And then, you talk to him now, and all of a sudden, it's like, this was the perfect opportunity. This is a dream come true. So this really just worked in terms of what it was that the New Orleans Saints needed and wanted, and what it was that Tyrann Mathieu needed and wanted. He's always wanted to be back in New Orleans, and now he gets that opportunity. And by the way, don't bring up simply that he's about to turn 30 as if that's old, because he'll let you know he's not.
I mean, I would hope so. And Ed, you said 30 like that's old. I think I'm just heating up, man. So hopefully, man, I can, obviously it's a 3-year deal and I'm hoping that I can, earn it all, And then hopefully some more. So, and like I said, that's going to take a lot of work. It's going to be a great challenge, but, as of right now, this is all about getting to know my teammates, you know, showing those guys how I practice and, you know, how I come to work every day. So I think all those things will kind of take care of itself down the road. I think the most important thing right now is just to, you know, find that bond, that chemistry with teammates and coaches.
This is actually one of my favorite parts of the presser with Matthew, was him talking about how, yeah, he's about to turn 30. It ain't that old, though, but he's about to turn 30, and it gives him an opportunity now for this to be the last contract of his career, for him to finish his career in New Orleans. A kid that was born and raised in the city of New Orleans, a kid that went to St. Augustine High School, that went to LSU, that went away for a few years, and now could potentially wrap up his career in New Orleans. No matter what, he'll continue his career in New Orleans, though. And he talked a little bit about why that's important to him. He shared his memories of when the Saints won the Super Bowl back in 2009. He and his buddies getting in a car and heading down to Canal Street to celebrate because of how the city of New Orleans was impacted by that, the way that they were rejuvenated by that and energized by it. And how often do you really get that, right? How often is that the case nowadays, that someone who is a senior in high school watched their hometown team win the Super Bowl, and then now, a few years later, right, over a decade later, being able to come back and say, join that team and say, I'm here to help them win their second Super Bowl. I mean, that's really, really incredible. And he's sitting here talking about now just trying to make sure that he gets in with like the fit of the players, fit of the coaches. And so here's a little bit about what he had to say about his fit in the defense as a whole, which kind of echoes a little bit about what the expectation has been all along. The key word here being versatility.
Yeah, I think it's a smart unit. I think it's a unit that can disguise coverage, you know, really well. And, you know, like I said earlier, this is a physical, you know, unit. I think from the front end to the back end, you know, everybody does their job. Everybody plays, you know, to a certain standard. And, you know, like I said, you know, this has always been a defense that I've seen myself, you know, being a part of, you know, with how much passion they play, the energy, you know, just the tightness that you can just see. It pops off the screen, you know, when you're watching the Saints play defense. So, like I said, I'm just hoping I can come in and add to that and, you know, and be all that I need to be, you know, for our team.
So as he talks about there, the way that the Saints like to disguise, the way that he wants to be able to kind of just serve and do what it is that he has to do to make the team a better team and make the players around him a better player, that all comes down to his versatility, right? It gives him an opportunity in Dennis Allen's defense, which is one that really, really thrives on multiplicity and disguise and versatility and flexibility and all of that, right? You look at the way that he and CJ Gardner-Johnson and PJ Williams and Marcus May are all going to be able to serve a bunch of different roles. Bradley Roby too, right? And maybe even some of these young guys that might be able to get into the mix here, like Bryce Thompson and Smoke Monday. So you see a lot of opportunities here for Tyrann Mathieu's versatility being sort of the leading kind of, let's call it his hallmark trait that everyone wants to talk about, how it fits in. But his ability to be able to make plays close to the line of scrimmage, his ability to be able to make plays further away from the line of scrimmage, that's going to make this defense run on a whole new level, on a whole new level, you know, a whole new octane, basically. I mean, it gets everything going for this New Orleans Saints defense. One last thing that I want to highlight from this presser was how much he talked about making the players around him better and also getting better, right? We're talking about a team in the NFC South here. You look across at the other conference in the AFC South, you've got a guy like Ryan Tannehill, who's the highest cap hit amongst quarterbacks in the NFL, who won't even commit to mentoring another young quarterback in the same room as him, right? Because he sees it as a head on a swivel situation and he's threatened. But here, you've got a guy like Tyrann Mathieu coming in at the later, quote unquote, stages of his career. And all he's talking about is making everybody around him better. And that's exactly the attitude that has to permeate, right? That's got to come from somewhere. And the Saints have always had that. Drew Brees was like that. Drew Brees mentored every quarterback beneath him, every quarterback behind him, never mattered. You know, you look at DeMario Davis and his ability to mentor anybody over on the defense, but particularly within his room. Same thing with Cam Jordan. You had the same thing with Malcolm Jenkins. Now you have it again with Tyrann Mathieu. And I think that type of attitude, that type of mentality is super, super important. You see it right now with Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas and Chris Olave already out getting work in, right? So you see that this fit in the culture, this fit on the field, this fit off the field is so perfect for the New Orleans Saints and clearly so perfect for Tyrann Mathieu as well. Speaking of Michael Thomas and Chris Olave, I want to get into the weeds a little bit on why it is that Chris Olave could have a standout impact his rookie season. And if we look back at the last 21 first-round wide receivers, it gives us an idea of what Chris Olave's rookie stat line could look like. And with some adjustments, there's real reason to be excited about what he could bring his rookie season. We got that coming up for you as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. But before we get to that, I want to remind you, Mother's Day right around the corner, May 8th. Don't forget, I ask you every day, how your mom and them. Don't let me come back on Monday, ask you how your mom and them, and then your answer be, I forgot Mother's Day. Don't let that happen. Don't let that be the case. I'll be so disappointed in you. So make sure you head over to BlueNile.com today to make sure that you find the perfect piece that your mother will never forget. So whether you're looking for diamond-studded earrings, maybe a really elegant tennis bracelet, maybe you're looking for something more like a gemstone pendant necklace, they've got everything that you need over at BlueNile.com, the original online jeweler store. It's also got 24/7 service to help make everything really nice, simple, and easy as well. So go check them out this Mother's Day. Give your mom the gift that she will treasure forever over at BlueNile.com. And Locked On Sports listeners are going to get $50 off of $500. This podcast exclusive is only available through Mother's Day. So use the promo code Locked On. That's code Locked On, LOCKEDON, to take advantage of the deal. Every order is insured. It ships free and arrives in discreet packaging so that it doesn't spoil the gift that's inside. So you can shop stress-free and find your forever piece today at BlueNile.com. All right, family, continuing on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. Thanks again for making us your first listen of the day. Every day, don't forget that we are free and available every Monday through Friday, wherever you get your podcasts, and of course, on YouTube as well. Thanks so much again for all the record numbers, all the wild support, everything. Let's keep it going because it's going to be a very, very fun off season. And as we get into the off season here, as we go into post-draft mode, we're going to do a lot of talking about these rookies, right? And I want to start off with Chris Olave here. We're going to kind of do an in-depth breakdown on each of these guys and kind of project what they might be able to do their rookie season. And Chris Olave is probably the one that's the most fun, right? He's the wide receiver. He's a skill position guy. He's the premier player, all of that. And he could possibly put up some really, really good numbers in his rookie season. And if you look at the sort of track record of rookie wide receivers, particularly first-round rookie wide receivers over the course of the past few seasons, things trend in that direction for Chris Olave, coming off the board at 11 for the New Orleans Saints in the first round, the Saints' first-round wide receiver that they've taken in the draft since pre-Jeff Ireland 2014, when they moved up and got Brandon Cooks, who incidentally is really the last dynamic weapon they've really had at the position up until now, Chris Olave joining the team. Now, as I mentioned, Chris Olave, Michael Thomas already putting in work, right? So two things that we're really going to look at here are the success of wide receivers, first round wide receivers, particularly in the recent past. And we're going to take a look at the complement that Chris Olave serves to a guy like Michael Thomas. So let's start there. Now, in addition to drafting Chris Olave, the New Orleans Saints are expected to have Michael Thomas back full steam ahead at the beginning of 2022. Week one, both of these guys, former Buckeyes, should be out on the field together with Jameis Winston under center. And they're already starting to put in work, right, over the course of the offseason, which is really, really nice to see. So if we want to talk a little bit about how it is that Chris Olave compliments Michael Thomas, it's as simple as talking about how Chris Olave complimented Garrett Wilson at Ohio State. You look at some of the things that Garrett Wilson did extremely well, you know that he's a good route runner, all of that, although Chris Olave was more of the technician, the technical route runner, really good change of direction without slowing up or giving up too much speed. All of those things, the suddenness that he had, were the things that made Chris Olave special. But Garrett Wilson, an all rights, a very, very good wide receiver himself. It's one of the reasons why he ended up getting drafted, these two guys going back to back. What it is that Garrett Wilson did, opposite Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson was somebody that operated majority in the short and intermediate areas of the field, particularly within breaking routes. In other words, routes that change direction, so you're not just running down the field, and instead of going toward the sideline, you're going toward the middle of the field. So it's in breaking, right? So those would be slant routes, in routes, or digs, same route, but just different verbiage. And then, of course, comebacks as well. It's where you kind of curl off, or rather curl routes, where you kind of curl off at the end of your route and start working your way back towards the quarterback. Slant, you're kind of going out and up, or in and up. And then in routes, you're literally just going in, like it's a 90-degree angle. So for Chris Olave, those were the routes that he was trying to complement. So he ran a lot of routes that carried him further up the field. And that's exactly what the New Orleans Saints are going to look to do with him along with Michael Thomas, although expect Michael Thomas to get a little bit more vertical this season. I wouldn't be surprised to see that right away at the very beginning of the year, getting Michael Thomas involved downfield. So if that's going to be the plan between these two, and that's just if they're on opposite sides of the field from one another, there's a whole other list of things that you can do with them on the same side of the field, like Mills concepts, where you have Chris Olave maybe from the slot run an in route, and then you run Michael Thomas with a post, or you flip him. And then basically what you're doing at that point is that you're challenging the safety. You're making the safety make a decision. Do I come down? And that's probably a good reason to use Michael Thomas in the slot, because he might bring that safety down because, oh, that's Michael Thomas attacking the middle of the field. And then Chris Olave takes the top off with a post route that takes him further downfield. So all of those pieces now become available to the New Orleans Saints in a way that they haven't been available for quite some time. And some of that has to do with the wide receiver talent. Some of it just has to do with the arm at quarterback that's been available to them, right? Drew Brees had a declining arm at the end of his season. So maybe that post route that you're running with the Mills concept was something that actually turned into a little bit more of an over route. And so you're taking 10, 15 yards off of it before the catch, right? So there's a lot of different possibilities here in terms of how Chris Olave and Michael Thomas complement one another, and they're all really exciting. So now if you look at the history of first-round wide receivers over the course of the last few years, going back to 2016, that gives us 21 first-round wide receivers to look at. If we average out the production of all of those wide receivers and look at catches, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns, here's the stat line that we get. This is just a total average across all 21 of those players. 43 catches, 582 yards, 3.5 touchdowns, let's say 4 touchdowns, right? For a rookie season. That's not terrible. But of course, that's flawed, right? Because with the exception of last season, all of these are taking into account only 16 games as opposed to 17 games. So we have to adjust for that. So we averaged everything out by a per game basis and then looked at it as a 17 game season. And then that brings those averages up just a little bit. 45 catches, let's say 46 catches, 45.7. So 46 catches, 609 yards, 4 touchdowns. So you see the yardage come up, you see the receptions come up, all of that. Now, the difference here that we should also look at is that 2016 and 2017 were awful when it came to first round wide receivers. Now, Michael Thomas was a fantastic wide receiver. He had a 1,000-yard season, 92 catches right off the bat his rookie year. One of the reasons why they were comfortable getting rid of Brandon Cooks with the whole closed mouths don't get fed situation. But he was a second-round wide receiver. The receivers that were taken before him in 2016 didn't have a lot of success. Corey Coleman, Will Fuller, Josh Doctson, Laquon Treadwell. These are guys that had, Josh Doctson had 2 catches his rookie season. Laquon Treadwell had 1 catch his rookie season. You look at 2017, you had Corey Davis, who had only 34 catches his rookie season. Mike Williams caught 11 passes his rookie year. And then his first year, John Ross caught nothing. So if you take those seasons out and you look really over the course of the last 4 seasons, which include players like Jamar Chase, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle from last year, Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson from the year before that, DJ Moore, Calvin Ridley from 2018, Hollywood Brown from 2019, who was just traded over to the Arizona Cardinals. Then it gives you kind of a better idea of where things are trending from the wide receiver talent that's coming into the NFL now. So with that and the 17-game adjustment, that gives us this stat line instead. 56 catches, 754 yards, and 5 touchdowns. If you get that from Chris Olave your rookie season, you feel pretty good about the investment in him as a wide receiver too. But I'm going to be honest with you. There's a lot of things to take into consideration here. There's Jameis Winston under center, and there's the fact that guys like Deonte Hardy and Marquez Callaway last year brought in over 15 yards per catch. So I want to adjust the yardage a little bit, because the 56 catches for 754 yard average that we got from this only gives you about a 13.4 yard per catch average. So let's just be conservative. Deonte Hardy pulled in 15.8 yards per catch last year. Marquez Callaway, 15.2. I'm going to just say 14.5. And then that puts you in a situation here to where you've got 56 catches, 814 yards, and 5 touchdowns. You're even happier with that. But I think, especially if Alvin Kamara is unavailable at the beginning of the season, Chris Olave and Michael Thomas could be the Saints' first pair of 1,000-yard receivers in the same year since 2016. The last time that happened, Brandon Cooks, Michael Thomas's rookie year. Could they do it again, Chris Olave's rookie year? If the circumstances work out I will say, properly or as we expect them to, and Alvin Kamara is not available at the beginning of the season, though you hope he is, I think that that's a real possibility to see both of those guys cross that 1,000-yard mark together as receivers in 2022. And if Alvin Kamara is unavailable at the beginning of the season, the Saints are going to need some help at running back. And they have some coming in, right? Or at least they have a visitor coming in, and a perfect fit visitor at that. I'll tell you who it is, when they're going to be there, and why they're a perfect fit as we continue on to wrap up today's episode of Locked On Saints. First, I get to tell you about our friends over at betonline.net, the number one source for all of your betting stats and sports info. So if you want to take a look at some of the odds for Offensive Player of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year, Defensive Rookie of the Year, you're going to be happy because Chris Olave right now is right at the top, plus 700, over Kenny Pickett, the only quarterback drafted in the first 74 selections of the NFL draft, or 73 selections of the NFL draft. He actually tops the quarterback in that situation. And Kenny Pickett is probably going to start for Pittsburgh next season. So pretty heavy odds, or pretty good stuff in favor of Chris Olave up there as Offensive Rookie of the Year. So maybe you want to get on that. Maybe you want to get in on the NBA playoffs, the MLB. You got the Kentucky Derby right around the corner as well. Maybe even esports. There's so much for you to check out over at betonline.net. So head over to the website today or use the mobile device so that you can learn more about all the trends and action and get in on it as well. It's BetOnline, where the game starts. Let's get it, Houdat Nation. Wrapping up today's episode of Locked On Saints with a quick look at the perfect visit coming up for the New Orleans Saints at the end of this week. Another free agency visit that you hope, like Tyrann Mathieu, will end up in a signing, because this would be a nice one for the New Orleans Saints. So as we know, Alvin Kamara has had his trial pushed back to August. And this is all kind of dealing with the Vegas altercation that ended up getting him arrested in February. And then now we kind of have to wait and see how that all plays out. But remember, what happens in the case itself, in terms of the court of the law, isn't really relevant to whether or not he's going to be suspended by the NFL. Even if nothing happens through the case and it gets dropped to a misdemeanor or whatever, he could still very much be suspended by the NFL due to violations of the code of conduct policy, right? So there's the court of the law, there's the court of the NFL, they're separate. So for the New Orleans Saints, I think that it's important for them to go and find another running back that they can bring in that can maybe help out with what the Saints need on the offensive side in place of Alvin Kamara, but also find somebody that could complement him or even operate in place of him, even when he is available for the team. Now, the Saints brought in undrafted free agent out of Baylor, Abram Smith, who had 257 carries for over 1,600 yards last year. Pretty incredible story. They actually moved him to linebacker for his first two seasons at Baylor, and then moved him back to running back for the first time in 2021, and then he absolutely went off in a weak Big 12 conference when it comes to defense, I know. But still, I mean, for him to be away from that position for 2 years and then come back and do what he did, pretty incredible. But they can't stop there. They've got Mark Ingram in the building. They've got Tony Jones Jr. in the building, but they should still continue to do more. And that's, they clearly feel the same way as well. And they're doing more right now is that later on this week, running back Sony Michel, formerly of the New England Patriots, formerly of the Los Angeles Rams more recently, is set to come and visit in New Orleans. 5'11", 215 pounds, averages 4.2 yards per carry on the ground, averages 8.2 yards per reception through the air. Those are important numbers, because when you look at Alvin Kamara, those numbers are not far off from him, who averages on his career 4.6 yards per carry, 8.7 yards per catch. So he gives you somebody that can come in and basically keep you from having to change the playbook if Alvin Kamara isn't available or if Alvin Kamara isn't able to be in the game. Sony Michel basically gives you what the Saints wanted to have with Ty Montgomery, but because they were so limited at wide receiver, they continuously had to use Ty Montgomery at wide receiver, so they never really got the opportunity to maintain their playbook in terms of what Alvin Kamara can give them and the threat that he can be out of the backfield. Sony Michel can help give that to you. Now, last year with the Los Angeles Rams, he had a pretty decent year. He saw 208 carries for 845 yards. Really good, actually. And in the midst of that, 4.1 yards per attempt. He also averaged 6.1 yards per catch on 21 catches. He also added a receiving touchdown there as well, and he had four rushing touchdowns. So he finds the end zone. He gets you good yardage. He kind of gives you the similar yardage to what you were used to getting every time with Latavius Murray, right around 4 yards per carry. And he gives you a legitimate threat out of the backfield. Now, he's dealt with some injuries and things like that, of course, throughout the past. But he appeared in all 17 games last season, started 7 of those. And I think that he's on an upward trajectory. Now, he's also going to be visiting with the Miami Dolphins, who can always use help at running back. But if the Saints can kind of utilize their new momentum here, right? Nailing the draft, signing Tyrann Mathieu, being able to bring in a guy like Sony Michel should be possible for New Orleans. And I don't think that it's going to be a situation to where you're looking at having to choose between Sony Michel and Jarvis Landry, who, of course, is still out and available. Now, we talked about both of those guys being players that the Saints should be invested in trying to bring in this offseason. According to SpotRack right now, the market value for Sony Michel is about $5 million annual, a two-year $10.08 million contract. I don't know that he gets that this late in free agency. Definitely something to keep in mind there. Remember, Tyrann Mathieu has signed an $11 million per year contract, when his market value, according to SpotRack, was more like 14.8. So you can see things come down here. So, you know, a one-year deal for $3 or $4 million is actually something that we had built in when we did our offseason projections, and we built in a similar contract for Melvin Gordon. And so it's affordable. And I don't think that a signing, we'll have to see what Tyrann Mathieu's like full contract details are, but I don't think that the signing of Tyrann Mathieu and a signing of Sony Michel takes you out of the running for Jarvis Landry, if that's somebody you want to add in. If I'm given the choice between the two, I'd probably go Jarvis Landry, just because we've seen what happens with the New Orleans Saints when their wide receiver room gets depleted and you still want to have protection there for injury and things like that. But if you end up with Sony Michel and Jarvis Landry, I think you're in a really, really good place, especially for a team that hasn't invested that much free agency money or free agency attention on the offensive side. So be able to turn around and add those two guys late here, fantastic stuff for the New Orleans Saints. All right, to wrap us up today, just a quick minute on the international game. The international game for the New Orleans Saints is set. It's going to be October 2nd, the fourth week of the season. It's going to be the Saints and the Minnesota Vikings in London. It's going to be a ton of fun, doing everything that I can be, everything that I can do to be there. Very much looking forward to that and that opportunity. And the thing to keep in mind here is that they can't have a bye week on either side of this, right? So it's going to be a long piece of travel either right after a game or right before the next game, because you can't have a bye week any earlier than week, what, 6? So for the Saints, they're not going to really be able to have so much time for rest here. Now, the good news is that, good/bad news is that the Bengals game is going to be at home for New Orleans. That's going to be really important for the city of New Orleans. That's going to bring in a ton of money for the city, right? You've got Ja'Marr Chase, you've got Joe Burrow, you've got Thaddeus, like you have these players that are all coming back to Tyler Shelvin. These LSU players that are coming back to the state of Louisiana to play at the biggest level, in the biggest stadium, everything. And so it's really, really cool to see that. Now, it does run the risk of kind of becoming a little bit of an away game for the New Orleans Saints. So Saints fans will have to pack that stadium up and be, you know, there for not only Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and all them, but mostly there for the New Orleans Saints. But still, great that that gets to stay in the state of Louisiana and at home in New Orleans. But it will be the Minnesota Vikings and the New Orleans Saints on the road for this international game. The Saints are currently 5-0 in all of the international games. They're undefeated, 2-0 regular season, including the 20-0 shutout of the Miami Dolphins years ago, the beginning of the very short-lived Crawley Clamps era. And then you also had three international preseason games, all of which they've won as well, which is interesting because the Saints have not historically been a successful preseason team. So there you have it. It's all set October 2nd, week 4 in London, New Orleans Saints, Minnesota Vikings. Remember, the last time the Saints and the Vikings played against one another, Alvin Kamara had 6 rushing touchdowns on Christmas Day in some super dope Christmas cleats. So looking forward to seeing what happens this next matchup between these two teams in London. Going to be a lot of fun. All right, y'all. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to move on to Trevor Penning. What do we project for his rookie season? Is he going to be the starter at left tackle, or will there be another arrangement made? We'll answer that question. I'll give you my prediction for him as we continue on and wrap up, getting close to the end of the week here at Locked On Saints. And of course, any news around Sony Michel, we'll hit that as well. So I appreciate you as always for making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day. Every day for your second listen, go and check out Locked On NFL. Everything you need to know around the NFL in less than 30 minutes with the local experts and the local angles. The people that actually cover the teams talking about the teams. Imagine that. Go and check it out. Locked On NFL every Monday through Friday. Appreciate you as always making me a part of your day and all the support. Absolutely loving everything that we're achieving here at the show. And it's all because of you. So thank you very much as always making me a part of your routine. If you need anything else around your New Orleans Saints in between these episodes, make sure you follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. And trust you, that nation. I'll holla at you.